Have you ever wondered how to protect yourself from scammers but weren't sure where to start? Here's a tip. Go to www.joindeleteme.com/JillOnMoney and enter code JillOnMoney for 20% off. Delete Me removes your personal information that's being sold online. In the age of AI, having your address or phone number floating around online leaves you vulnerable to bad actors. As someone with an active online presence, I know that privacy is crucial, and removing your data will help you protect yourself from identity theft and harassment. Delete Me does all the hard work to wipe your personal details from hundreds of data broker websites, which is why Wirecutter named them their top pick for data removal services. Plans start at just over $8 a month, making peace of mind affordable. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/JillOnMoney and use promo code JillOnMoney at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to www.joindeleteme.com/JillOnMoney and enter code JillOnMoney at checkout. That's www.joindeleteme.com/JillOnMoney, code JillOnMoney. You know, I always say to make smart financial decisions. So let me ask you this. What exactly is that old car in your driveway doing for you right now? Seriously, is it an extra car nobody drives anymore? Maybe it doesn't run. Do you keep saying you'll sell it one weekend and suddenly it's been 2 years? Meanwhile, it's taking up space, costing you money, and slowly becoming part of the landscape. Here's the easy solution. Donate it to Cars for Kids. And yes, it's that Cars for Kids, the one with the jingle you absolutely know already. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Here's why people love to donate to Cars for Kids. It's ridiculously simple. You go to carsforkids.org/Jill. That's Cars with a K. Answer a few simple questions and you're done. They'll come pick up the vehicle for free, tow it away, handle the paperwork, and you'll receive a tax-deductible receipt. Done. Cars for Kids has been doing this for over 30 years and has accepted more than 1 million vehicle donations. So if you've got a car you're not using, turn it into something meaningful. Go to carsforkids.org/Jill. That's Cars with a K. And fair warning, now that jingle is going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Friday, August 28th, and how delightful for you that we have a returning guest, a friend of mine, the absolute legend, Gene Chatsky. Hello, Gene Chatsky.
Hello. Nice to see you.
It's great to see you. I feel like I haven't seen you in person in a long time. I think that the last time I saw you in person, was it right before the pandemic?
It was right before the pandemic. It was downtown. Lower Manhattan, and you got a sandwich from Russ and Daughters.
Exactly. Well, how could I be so close to Russ and Daughters and not
and
get
not.
A you know, lox and eggs kind of thing? You know,
yes.
Let's be honest. Gene Chatsky, awesome legend, long career in writing and being a journalist, and for some godforsaken reason, you just keep pumping out books. It's not that you're making so much money with these books, because they're not making money anymore. So why are you doing this to yourself?
Well, this one was a little bit of me search, honestly. I'm 61 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not retired, but I can sort of see it coming at some point down the road. And I had been exposed to all this research about how retirees are just choked up when it comes to spending their money. They're hoarding their assets. They're so afraid. I didn't want to get into that trap. And so I started looking for solutions to help retirees worry a little less, spend a little bit more of their money while making sure that they didn't run out in the end. And it turned into this book. So I'm actually really excited about it. It's been useful personally, and so I hope it's useful for other people.
So what do you mean by, like, as you look ahead, like, do you yourself, somebody who has studied this, and then we have plenty of evidence of this, so I'm not saying you're alone, but as you were, you know, kind of rounding the corner and saying, okay, this is sort of, I can see it now, is it that you felt like, oh, I'm not going to spend my money because I want it to be there for my kids? Or did you knew that mathematically you wouldn't run out. So I guess I'm wondering, what was the emotion that you were actually feeling as you contemplated this, that you would speak for your generation and mine, because you're a whole year older than I am. But so we're in it together, girl.
So not running out is honestly, you know, not going to be a problem for me and my husband or for you. But I did have this very scary experience in the financial planner's office where he did the chart thing, where he said, all right, if you continue to spend at the same rate.
Mm-hmm. Which you will.
Which I will, or maybe more. I mean, retirees in the first couple of years are spending a little bit more as they knock off those bucket list items. Mm-hmm. This is what your picture looks like. And if you live a very, very long time, there's not that much left for your kids.
Oh my God, your kids are fine.
My kids, you know what? My kids, honestly, my kids are fine.
I know. But
it's looking at the picture way down the road, 30 years, 35 years, when the market's roller coaster a bit, when you're not sure what you're going to need in terms of long-term care down the road. Mm-hmm. And this was the doozy for me, when he applied taxes to the portfolio, the picture shifts so dramatically that you sort of get a very, very big wake-up call.
So are you saying that, like, oh, my $1 million, it's in my retirement account, it hasn't been taxed, actually it's really only 600?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Uh-huh. So that happened. And then I watched my mother, and I'm sure you've had this experience also. My father passed away 25 years ago. He left my mother with a paid-off apartment, which was lovely, a small pension, Social Security, a decent long-term care policy, and $1.6 million.
Okay, and how old she? That's 25 years ago. Where
she was 63 years.
Okay,
she was 63 years old.
Okay.
Over the next 20 years before she died, I watched her do her very best not to see that 1.6 million number drop. She anchored to that number. She held on to that number so tightly, and she would spend the interest on her portfolio, she would spend the pension dollars, the Social Security. She had three grown kids telling her, Mom, we do not need your money. Do what you want. And she couldn't bring herself to dig into it.
Why do you think that is?
I think she was afraid that maybe she would live a very long time and need it down the road. But I also think she, like so many other people, got so used to seeing the number go up because they had been saving for retirement for so many years that seeing it go down was highly uncomfortable. And that's what we're seeing from retirees.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that all the time. I also hope that my mother is in that category. I hope she doesn't spend a dollar. No, I'm just kidding, Mommy. I love you. I mean, I think that we hear this. I think there's also, okay, I get the idea that, like, that we need to shift. And I certainly think people of your mother's and my mother's generation, my mom's 86, and, you know, I had a mother-in-law who lived till she was 98. And so actually the best thing that happened was the moment where she's like, Jill, I can't do this anymore. I'm turning it over to you. What was great about that is she stopped hyper-focusing on the number, and then we could just spend it. But it's interesting, even just early retirees having that moment where they're like, I'm used to having a paycheck. I don't have a paycheck. And that shift is very difficult. It's almost like you're better off being like a teacher or someone who's receiving a pension. You might say, I get a lower amount of pay during my work life, but then I get the rest of the pay when I retire. Like, I know most people who have pensions are very happy spending it. But if you say to somebody, you've got a 401k, it's got $1 million in it, we want you to take, you know, 50 or 60 grand out a year, they're like, I don't know.
and the research actually proves this out. So a couple of retirement researchers looked at people who had the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
One set of people had it as an income stream, as a pension. The other set had it as a balance in that 401k. Mm. The people with the income stream spent double.
Mm. They spent happier.
And they were happier because they knew that another paycheck would show up the next month. So mm-hmm. even if they spent it really unwisely one month, they were going to get a do-over and a do-over after that. And they didn't have to worry about how long they lived because they had this pension, essentially this insurance backing them up. It was never going to run out.
So in that respect, is this just one, like a big book with the thesis of people are scared to spend, they should buy annuities? Is that what like the answer is? Like, where do you come out on that?
I think it's the answer for some people. It depends on your personality. I do think everybody needs a paycheck, but whether you fund your paycheck with insurance or with investments really depends on your personality, your tolerance for risk. If you can't handle it, then you should go the insurance route. But if you've got a lot of FOMO, if you're the type of person that if the markets go crazy in a good way and you don't have all of the possible money that you can in those markets, then you probably should look at some sort of an investment solution or a bucket strategy that allows you to create a paycheck in a different way.
Because listen, I came up in financial planning at a time where annuities were kind of crappy. Right? They were expensive, complicated. They locked you in. They had huge surrender charges. Now, I mean, listen, I was just talking to a financial advisor recently, and we were talking, and she's like, you know, the Vanguard annuity team, they're awesome. And this is, by the way, this show could be sponsored by Vanguard if you would like to, but it's not. You know, we were talking about how the biggest problem with annuities is that they were sort of oversold. And even though it was like an interesting solution, it was so expensive that it was very difficult to make that part of a financial plan. So could you speak to that fact that like they are dense, they are expensive, and they really trap you liquidity-wise in some respects.
Except they don't anymore. I mean, what your financial planner friend said about the Vanguard team is happening across much of the industry. The mm-hmm. products have gotten better, and I know this because I'm pretty risk averse. Mm-hmm. And so I actually am going to take a chunk of my money and I'm going to buy an annuity that's going to give me income for the rest of my life. And that's exactly what I'm suggesting. Mm-hmm. You don't want to create a paycheck with all of your money because it's really important because of longevity, because of inflation, that you've got a good chunk of your money invested in stocks forever. This is really a replacement for the pension leg of the three-part retirement stool. It's maybe a third of your money at most that you would use to create a paycheck. But annuities have gotten better. They continue to get better. You can go the very, very simple route if you want. The companies heard the complaints about liquidity and not being able to get your premium back. And so they've built in return of premium riders and all sorts of permutations. Now, the more things you add on to an annuity, the more bells and whistles, the lower your return on that annuity is going to be, which is really important to keep in mind. But if you can handle taking a chunk and knowing that this is income that's going to cover those things that you need, and I suggest those things that you really want, the ones you do not want to compromise on, those things should be covered forever. Social Security will cover some of them, but figure out what the gap is. Then use the strategies that I've outlined to build a paycheck to cover the rest.
So, Jean, if you look at that as the model, are you, so let's go back to just in case, because we're throwing around the word annuity and some people who are watching and listening, they hear that term, they don't really know what it is. So let's go back two steps, which is there are a lot of different flavors of annuities.
Yes.
It's basically you're creating a contract with a life insurance company and you are saying, here is some amount of money, either a whole bunch up front or a little bit at a time. And annuitizing means you get this stream of income, monthly, quarterly, however you decide to receive it. So in the Chatsky method, is this an immediate annuity?
Could be. It kind of depends on where interest rates are when you decide that you're going to buy this annuity. An immediate annuity, by the way, is an immediate transaction. You take a chunk of money, you give it to an insurance company, the stream of income turns on right then. It could be a deferred annuity where you give them a chunk of money now, it grows for a while, you turn on the income down the road. There are a lot of different flavors. You gotta do some shopping around to figure out which one is gonna be the best fit for you. And there are some annuities that actually give you some exposure to the market if that's important to you. You're not going to get all the upside, but you would get some of the upside with some downside protection. So you got to look at the landscape and listen to a couple of different sales pitches to kind of figure out where you fit.
Would it be better, I mean, you work with a financial advisor, I mean, I presume it's a CFP or a fee-only advisor. Would it be better, best practice, to have a third party kind of help you suss that out and say, hey, this person, you know, hopefully they're not getting paid a big commission, but they're putting your, you know, fiduciaries are putting your needs first. They'll be able to lay out what your options are. Because I'm worried that people will hear a sales pitch, but they won't know the right questions to ask. And so then they end up with this larded up annuity product that's costing them 2.5% a year for something that may actually not be worth it, or maybe they put too much money in it. But like to have that third party would seem to me a way to help mitigate the process that can be sort of painful.
I think having the third party is a good idea, but I also think it's important to realize that not all financial advisors will sell you annuities. Mine won't. We've had this discussion. I work with a financial advisor who I really like and respect. He works with an assets under management model, as many financial advisors do. And that model doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with taking a chunk of your money out of that pool of assets and using it to buy an annuity. So
wait,
I think you...
Wait a minute. But if he's a CFP and he's a fiduciary, he should be able to look at the array of products and give you advice, no?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. But I asked him to find me.
I got that.
Was not on the dance card.
Okay, so he's like, go find them. You know what? I want you to get you a new financial planner, but I know you have a good relationship with him. So but okay, in my experience, like if I have had a lot of planners who will look at the annuity landscape and they'll say, here's three different possibilities. You can pay this person directly or not, or that they're really looking at these lower cost options. Then, so, I mean, there's a weird inherent conflict when you have an AUM model, which I have not run into these people, okay? So they're not like the advisors I know. But you're right in that there's sort of like an evangelical quality to some of them who are like, I don't take a commission, I'm not doing this, which right. I don't think serves your client very well, because your client is Jean, and Jean's been a great client of yours, and you want her to be happy, and you want to take her through a process and like make it better for her. But putting that aside, I think that it is, because it is such a complicated product, and because the differential in fees is pretty vast, it's tough to do this on your own. So how did you go about that?
Look, I went about getting a whole education on all of the different annuity products. And in the book, there's information on what the products are, how they work, what the commissions and fees on each product should be if you're getting a decent deal on them so that you actually can compare. Because once you strip away the bells and whistles, these are kind of commodity products. And you're looking for an apples-to-apples comparison that gives you the most income for the least amount of money, right? That's where you want to come out. You're driving toward an outcome of the most consistent income for the rest of your life. The one sort of silver lining that I think is coming down the pike, it's not going to get there fast enough for you or for me, but what I've seen in the past couple of years are the Vanguards, the Fidelities, the BlackRocks moving in this direction. Annuities are going to get added to 401k plans. We're going to see an income track in 401k plans. It'll be there for millennials. It'll probably be there maybe for the youngest Gen Xers. It's not there yet, which is why we have to do it ourselves. But once it's in there, the 401k providers are going to do vetting, right? They're going to reduce the fees. They're going to offer you best of class options, and you're not going to have to worry as much about this shopping process.
Right. It's going to be like the way that 401ks and their investment choices developed anyway. We used to have, you know, very expensive. I believe that when you and I started out, there was an 8.25% commissionable fund inside of a retirement account, and that slowly but surely went down to zero. Now, of course, listen, you're going to pay something. So I'm not saying you're going to pay zero. It's not going to be an index fund. There has to be an aspect of management and managing the interest rate risk, and the insurance company is going to have a certain amount of overhead. So I get that. Where do you see the sweet spot on fees right now? That if somebody is like, I'm reading Jean's book, and it's like, oh my God, this is fantastic. I want one of those. Okay, so where do you think the sweet spot is fee-wise? And let's talk about it as just like, there's an immediate annuity. Hey, you know what?
Very low fee.
So what are we talking about? Give me an about.
I mean, immediate annuities have commissions of, it should be 1% or less.
Okay.
I mean, there's very, very low fees on these. If you're looking for the most income and you're not interested in immediate annuities, and I think there are a lot of people who look at this immediate annuity and the share of product sold that actually goes into these immediate products is pretty small. It's less, you could count it on one hand.
Right, it's like it's the lottery winner.
So you need to look at the commissions on the other products. And I think the thing to understand is the best way to get income out of a lot of these products is with an income rider on a particular annuity. The cost for the income rider, 1% a year, is all you should have to pay.
Okay. All right. So, but that would suggest to me that, like, we're talking about 1% to 2% a year as a cost to get a stream of income. Does that sound about right?
I don't think I'd pay 2%.
Would you pay 1.5? 1 to 1.5?
I'm looking at,
because like mortality and expense would have to be
1.5, probably.
Right, it has to be like 35 basis points, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, let's say 1.35.
Right.
So what the comparison is, it's let's say it's 1.35% a year to get peace of mind that you're turning your investment or retirement account into an income stream that will give you some security. It can give you consistency of income. It will take you off. You're not going to get off the entire market, right? But you'll take a portion and you'll be able to kind of strip it down a little bit and be like, okay, if I had, I'm going to make this up. If 40% of my money was put into an annuity and the rest was in the market, when the markets go down, because I'm getting that paycheck, maybe I'll even be a better long-term investor. Is that kind of like where you think it's going-ish?
Yes, and that 60% that you have in the markets, can be invested more aggressively.
Because you know you have that.
You know that you've got the 40%.
Right.
And if you've got legacy goals, or if you want to help those kids that you said are fine.
Your kids are fine. I know they are.
If you want to help them, right? If they're looking to make a down payment on a house, or you want to help put grandchildren through college, or whatever. Knowing that you are taken care of over here gives you a lot of freedom over here.
Have you also looked at this from a different angle, which would be the charitable angle, where you say, I get the stream of income during my life, and at my death, whatever residual is left goes to charity XYZ, and there is a benefit to that. Did you look at that for yourself or for others? Have you thought about that as well?
Yeah, I've thought about that too. If there's a lot of different ways that you can structure this, and as you get closer to retirement, as you know, we've got greater choices when it comes to how to give to charity, how to satisfy those goals and pay the least taxes along the way, right? So, you know, looking at giving money directly out of your IRA or 401k to charity, I think has some advantages. This has some advantages too. It just depends on what you want to do as far as legacy is concerned.
Okay, let's get back to you. So you have this fabulous show, Her Money, and you've built an empire. I remember the last time I spoke to you, I'm like, why are you paying all these people? All those Gene people who are on this she defended you. I'm like, I just pay Mark. That's it. So what's happening in the empire of Her Money?
Her Money's great. I love my team. I don't have that many people.
10 million.
Only 10 million people. We are, the Her Money podcast is still going strong. This year we've produced the How She Does It podcast with Karen Feinerman. She won a Gracie. It was awesome. We are doing some coaching and running an investment club for women, and we're having a good time.
Okay, but then why are you talking about retirement? What's happening?
I'm not retiring. I'm not retiring.
Okay.
But I'm of this age where I'm going to have a grandchild in like
a
week.
Oh my God, mazel tov. Fantastic. Amazing.
And so I'm thinking about all of these things and maybe you are too, although I can't imagine.
No, I don't, because I am a barren lesbian. And I have two dogs. I don't think about that. I only think about like that I'm tired of the news cycle, which is different than this show. That's and you know that feeling. Like you got out of that rat race smartly ahead of me. But that has nothing to do with like Mark also will not let me retire. Mark, how many years did you say I need to give you? 6 to 7. He used to say 3 to 5.
Clock. Yeah. I think 6 to 7 sounds pretty good, honestly.
It's all exhausting. But, you know, if he needs it, I'll do it for him. No, I mean, I think that you and I have the same experience, which is like, it's really fun to talk to real people, which is like, it's like diffused through television. Like you're talking to millions of people and yet you don't have the same kind of feedback, right? It's like that initial, like, you get that like dopamine hit when you're talking to someone and you're like walking them through something, or someone sends you an email and like, Gene, thank you so much for what you did. You made a difference. Like, that's amazing. So I love it. And also you probably have like 3 more books to write if you have 6 years, right?
I don't know about that, but I am sure that retirement for you eventually looks like it looks for me, which is you don't stop, but maybe you do a little bit less than you're doing now.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. You know, Christine Benz from Morningstar.
Sure.
I love when she says the go-go, the slow-go, and the no-go years. And I think that, listen, unfortunately, you lost a father when you were young, and he was young. And then you watched your mother, and you see that process and aging, and we hear from people all the time. And I think that there is something to be said for feeling connected to something you care about. It doesn't have to be for big money, but it could be like, I'm the great volunteer. It could be that you are you know, doing some consulting and work. But like all those things matter. And then at the end of the day, you're like, I just want to also have some fun. And that's amazing, right? So beyond the grandchild, what are you doing for fun right now?
My husband and I are going to Africa
later
in the fall. So I'm very excited about that. We've had this plan for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Mostly, my new grandchild is in California, so mostly I'm going to be on a plane back and forth to California a lot.
Did you think about, like, maybe getting a place out there to be closer to, or is it like, let's see how things settle? Maybe the kids will come back to the East Coast.
The kids were talking about coming back to the East Coast, but every time I talk to them, they've got more and more of a network of people out there who are having babies, and I just see it slipping through my fingers. So eventually, maybe a place in California, or there are lots of places that you can rent for months at a time. We learned during COVID, we can work anywhere.
Yeah. And also, like, you learned with your own mother that, like, you moved her closer to you, you move closer to her, and that was really kind of fantastic, right?
Yeah, it was great.
I wonder if we are going to, like, I do know there are more multi-generational homes. I think that one of the other lessons of COVID has been that, like, being close to your family at certain points in your life is important. It really is. And if you're lucky enough to have them. So I think that's awesome. Well, listen, you're always amazing. And again, just what number book is this, Jane?
It is 14.
Oh, my God. She just is incredible. Ugh. So, couple of things, gang, as you listen to this or watch this. Jean's podcast is called Her Money. You can download it wherever you get podcasts. Jean's book is called The Forever Paycheck. Here it is. Mark will put a link to it in the show notes. It's coming out in like 10 days. So, comes out on September 8th. You can pre-order it, or you can wait for it to come out and buy it in that. Well, I think if you pre-order, then you get that New York Times bump if you pre-order it from the right place, wherever you get books. Follow her. She writes for AARP. She does all sorts of incredible things. She is a legend. She's amazing. And she is a pal. So I am always honored to have your presence on our program, Ms. Jean Chatsky. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for doing this.
So, gang, you got a question for Jean? You can hop onto her website, or you can just send us a note. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button. Tell us what's going on. Tell us your reaction. Did you have an annuity question? Are you thinking about it? Are you trying to dismantle something you already own? Is it good, bad, otherwise? You need some help. Mark and I are both certified financial planners. We'd love to help you out. And while you're on the website, don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and check out our new program. It's called Money Moves. You can find it on YouTube. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Friday, and that means we do some thank yous. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. Mark Talerce is the very best executive producer in the world. Sorry, Gene's executive producer, but he's mine. And we are distributed by the fine folks at Odyssey. Do me a favor, as always, we ask that you lift someone up, change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.